Hey, this is Pastor Spencer with Racine Bible Church. You're listening to a sermon from a Sunday morning. Thank you.
How wonderful to hear these joyous songs about our living hope in Jesus Christ, who's risen from the grave, and how sweet to see those testimonies, the baptisms of those who their sin brought them to Jesus. And Jesus is so loving that their need brought Jesus to them, and he saved them and changed their life. It's my happy obligation now to share with you from the Word of God that all the lyrics that you heard in these songs and even the real-life examples that you heard in those testimonies, that it's true as we see it in the inerrant and infallible Word of God. I want to talk real clearly and even briefly this morning about what the gospel is. I want to talk about what God is like and what the gospel is, that we've placed our living hope in Jesus Christ and his resurrection from the dead. Anytime we come to a church like this and we open the Word of God, we're talking about who God is and what he's like. What is God like? The Bible explains God. It doesn't go to great, like, arguments to prove God. It just explains him, or just describes him, because everything depends on him. I've got a bunch of theology books in addition to my Bible that kind of help me understand the Bible. One of the oldest theology books I have is written by a guy who wrote in ancient past. His name is Anselm. And in the first chapter of his theology book, he defines God, and I've always loved his definition of God. God is that being who, out of his own being and bliss, gives life to all that is. God is that one being who, out of his own being and bliss, pours out life, gives life to all that is. And God doesn't just give life by finding some life somewhere and plugging it in. God pours himself out in giving us life and in loving us and in saving us. In the book of Genesis, it says that God created everything that is. And in a special move, when he created the first man and the first woman, it says that he formed them from the dust of the ground and that he breathed himself into them. He breathed into them in the image of God, the very spirit of their being. And so God breathes life and even himself into us. God makes us. And then the very next chapter, it says that, sadly, we unmake what God made. The Bible says that sin is to dishonor God, to, like, with clenched fists, disobey God, or even just with a shrug of the shoulder to ignore God, is to despise God, not live like he's God, but to live like I'm God, like I'm the Lord of my own life. But see, the Christian gospel says that the God who poured life into us in the first place then poured himself out of heaven to take on our flesh and die in our place on the cross. And not only that, but what every one of these songs celebrated was that after dying on the cross, Jesus Christ, very God, yet very man, Jesus Christ, after dying on the cross, he rose again. And as if that wasn't enough, the resurrection life that Jesus has, he didn't keep that to himself. But as God, the giver of life, Jesus pours that resurrection life into every single one who is his, who is united to him by faith. I want to show you this in the book of Philippians. It's a little epistle in the New Testament. We'll read from Philippians 2, and then we'll read a little bit from Philippians 3. Our reading will start in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. And anytime we open God's word, we need God to open our hearts. So let's pray and ask his help. Gracious Heavenly Father, Almighty God, apart from the presence and power of your Holy Spirit, hear with us That same Holy Spirit who inspired this inerrant and infallible word, without that same Holy Spirit here with us now, even looking at your word would be in vain. So we pray that by your Spirit, you might open our minds and our hearts. Make us willing to hear your word. Make us willing to obey your word. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Reading from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. It says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and having been found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And then here's the resurrection in verse 9. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is a description of what our God has done in the gospel. It's a description of what our God is like. After we fell and marred and ruined ourselves, God, it says here in Philippians 2, poured himself out of heaven to take on flesh and blood so that he could die in our place. The Bible says so many things about God. One of the sweetest, actually it's one of the most popular verses in the whole Bible, one of the sweetest things it says about God is this little verse in 1 John when it says God is, and it says God is love. We see who God is in the fact that he created us and he owns all that is. And we see who God is in the fact that he's sovereign and he's in control of everything as the king. But we see who God is not only by raw sovereign power, though we see God by that. We see who God is by his love. God shows who he is not only by creating us, but by pouring himself out to save us. That's what Philippians 2 says. It's describing in doctrinally precise language the incarnation or the coming of Jesus Christ. That Jesus, the second member of the triune God, being equal with God, did not regard that as a thing to be enjoyed only in heaven, but he willingly poured himself out and he took on the form of a bondservant so that he could die, not just any death, but the humble death on a cross. So it's true that the Bible shows us God's majesty in the fact that he's sovereign and creator. But it's just as true that the Bible shows us God's majesty in the fact that God was spit upon and punched and pierced and insulted and crucified. Behold, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation, the bearer of our punishment, the wrath of God. He sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And not only that, but after he died on the cross, what we're celebrating today is that he rose from the grave. I'll show you the resurrection in Philippians chapter 3. We just read from Philippians 2. Just look with me quickly at Philippians 3, and I'll show you how the apostle talks about the resurrection there. He says, beginning in verse 8 of Philippians 3, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Look at verse 9, that I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. You know, those verses insist on what the Christian gospel is. It's not a program by which we work ourselves into righteousness. The Christian gospel is a gift where God gives us a righteousness that was not our own, but it becomes our own in Jesus Christ. And then he gets to the resurrection, verses 10 and 11, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. And he talks in verses 12 through 16 about how he presses on to know Jesus Christ. He warns them in verse 17 and 18 to not follow in the way of those who are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end, verse 19, is destruction. And then he says in verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his in glorious power, by the power that enabled him to subject all things to himself. The way that Philippians 3 talks about the resurrection of Jesus is this. Not only did Jesus, in our place, rise from the grave, but the way Paul describes it there, it's like the resurrection life that Jesus has is so abundant and so overflowing that he has this surplus life that now he doesn't hold on to, but he gladly pours out that life onto us. Our God pours life into us in the first place. When we wreck that life, he pours himself out to save us. And then after he rises from the grave, he pours out resurrection life onto us. And the apostle says, I know the resurrection of Christ, and I'm always pressing forward to know it more and more. The life that I live now, I live because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Great American poet Emily Dickinson, one of my favorites, she has a poem about Easter. And the first line in it, she says, the great blunder is to think of eternity as then. Think about that this week. The great blunder is to think of eternal life as then. When Jesus rising from the dead, he gives us life. That's why in the songs that we sang, they said that Jesus breaks every chain and he gives us hope. It doesn't mean that if you become a Christian, there are no longer any problems in your life and everything you're frustrated about disappears easily. What it means is that the resurrection life that Jesus has, he now shares with us. So the life that we live, we no longer live in and of only ourselves. We live because Christ dwells in us. This is the good news of the gospel. Do you believe this? And in the name of the risen Christ, and as a minister of his gospel, let me be so bold as to simply declare to you that if you believe this, no sin of yours, no matter how bad it is, can ruin you because you are in Christ. And in the name of the risen Christ, as a minister of his gospel, let me also be so direct as to say, if you do not believe this, no good living of yours, no matter how good you think it is, can save you. Salvation is only found in Jesus Christ and his resurrection life. And so as it's my happy joy to share this gospel with you, I just want to give you a sweet word of welcome, and also even a solemn word of warning. The word of welcome is, I'm sure some of you here, you're not yet a Christian. I was just talking to one of our members who a few Easters ago was not a Christian. And the offer of welcome is that even if you're not a Christian, isn't the God that I just described the kind of God you'd want to believe in if there was a God? Who wouldn't want this God who pours life into us? And after we mar that life, he pours himself out to save us. Why would you turn your back on him? And the word of solemn warning is that this invitation to believe in Jesus is not an invitation that you can leave unresponded to without consequence. If you refuse to believe in Jesus, this is to reject the world creating, soon returning, world judging Son of God. And to reject Jesus is to live in hard-hearted unbelief, for which that soul which refuses to believe will be rightly judged by Almighty God. And so I plead with you, be no longer closed, but by the Spirit of God, open up your heart. Be no longer unbelieving, but believe. No longer try to make your own life work. Lay it down and receive from the risen Lord Jesus the abundance of his life, which will change you from the inside out. Christ is risen, and so in him we are all invited to life, true life, everlasting. Let me pray for you. Lord God, you and you alone are the Lord of the harvest. Unless you water the hearts of those who hear your word, they will remain unopened. But by your Spirit, cause me and cause each one here who has heard your word to behold the beauty of Christ in the gospel and to receive by faith the good seed of the word of God. Do your work of grace in every heart here so that the seed that is sown in weakness might be raised in power. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen.
To find out more about our ministry, contact us at racinebible.org. Thank you.